what rules at the moment is a GDP, it's a growth, it's shareholder value, it's all of that. So we try to make everything work towards that instead of saying, okay, what other tasks in life make a life worth living?
Get Inspired, your podcast for more inspiration and your business talk about how to connect, how to empower, and how to get inspired. With amazing guests interviewed by Ricarda, our founder of My Collective.
With so many of us working more flexible since COVID, it feels like new work is the buzzword of the moment. But Ellie Oldenburg knows that it's been around for decades and that it's not really about working from home, but much more about having a life as well as a job. So what does it really exactly mean? Let's dive into it.
Welcome to My Collective and to our Impulse Sessions tonight. The Impulse Sessions are part of our leadership program for top talents across the industry during parental leave. And what we do is we talk about how we connect, how we empower, and how we get inspired. And today I'm very excited to have with us Ellie Oldenburg and to discuss about new work beyond the buzzwords. So what does new work really mean? What does it mean for me? And how the hell am I going to make it a reality in my current job? So I'm really excited to have you, Ellie, with us tonight because you seem to have figured it all out. And you've been working in marketing and sales for over 16 years in global corporations. You've been for 9 years as a manager at Google. And for the last 4 years, you've also been working part-time in a job share. Apart from that, you're also a so-called sidepreneur, founder, host of salons, coach, an author, a speaker. So there we go. You live it yourself. And it seems to be your goal to demystify the future of work, as I said, beyond the buzzwords. So Ellie, what's new about new work? What does it really mean? And what I'm most interested in is why is there such a hype at the moment?
Well, thanks first for having me and for inviting me, Ricarda, and everyone in this call. Well, since the pandemic, I've heard the sentence a lot. You can all work from home now. It's new work par excellence. I'm like, I'm not sure if working from home was the idea. So let me get back to the roots where the term new work actually comes from. It's from a Austrian-American philosopher. Friedrich Bergmann is his name, and he framed that word new work in the 80s already. And really, he didn't talk about holacracy, he didn't talk about design thinking, he didn't talk about a four-hour work day. He talked about a new way of bringing life and work together beyond working to get money and to have a paid job and to live a life. He felt like work has also something to do with responsibility for a society. It has something to do with freedom, the freedom of expressing and choosing yourself, and with having a pay that you can, well, live your life as you would like. So it's what he did and all the people who followed, they look at work in a more holistic way of what we do at the moment when we talk about new work. So at the moment, the whole buzzwordy, rather elitist conversation, public conversation around new work is between design thinking and a little bit of kicker tables in the office and a little bit of holacracy and team culture efforts and agility and collaboration and all of that. But it's hardly anyone talks about the definition of work and what other tasks in life are work. So I believe since the pandemic, the hype, as you might call it, increased a little bit because with regards to education and with regards to working, we obviously had to change, but also taking care of others. So the care work, because we have to take care of our children right now and all these other things, but also the idea of working together to make society a good place, I think increased. The attention increased, but not the efforts have increased to change the systems, how we work. Because at the end of the day, what rules at the moment is a GDP, it's a growth, it's shareholder value, it's all of that. So we try to make everything work towards that instead of saying, okay, what other tasks in life make a life worth living? So you can see the term new work as it's currently, I would say, 95% discussed. Only tries to focus on the economic part of work instead of the holistic of what other tasks in life make a life work living worth living. And here people have said, what you are doing is new work. I'm like, really? Is it that? I'm just trying to cope with life the best I can and contribute to a healthy me, a healthy surrounding family that I have, and a healthy society, obviously. So and that does not only include my paid work or my corporate job, which I love, but I don't only love that. So yeah, that's, I hope that gives a good framing.
Yeah. So, okay. So blurring all the dimensions, or the going beyond the, let's say, traditional perspectives, what does that mean in terms of skills or the skill set that you need for that? I mean, when it comes to leadership skills, you probably need a new and diverse set of leadership skills to navigate the water of so many different fields. Can you share a little bit on how that is seen in the new work perspective, and also maybe how you do it yourself?
Well, the new work perspective is really, I couldn't care less so much about. The perspective is, where does our world develop to in terms of living, working, everything? And if we try to look at the working world of the future, and I'm not saying 50 years, I'm saying even in 10 years already, so one buzzword that is used a lot, and I think it is very appropriate to use it, is VUCA. We're increasingly volatile, we're increasingly uncertain. Looking at this pandemic, we know exactly what that means last year. It's increasingly complex, our systems, how we work, from digitalization to silos. I'm sure many of you know that, and increasingly ambiguous. So let alone to navigate through a VUCA world where increasingly jobs will be automated and might fall away in the future, we, with our human skill set, have to define, okay, what will differentiate us from the working powers of the machines in the future? And I would say that is something that even the World Economic Forum, and they only look at the economic aspect, so that's something to remember. And they even say under the top 10 is emotional intelligence, is critical thinking, is creativity and being innovative and creative with situations, because they are increasingly complex and VUCA, is collaboration, because that is much harder for digitalized systems to approach. So those are the things I would say, and the most of the experts say, and really common sense says, if we want to approach a new way of working in a new world also, that is being shaped, no matter if we like it or not, those are the things I would nurture. And does that make sense?
Yes, it's blurry, right? So you put a lot of different skills into things. So if you would put it into boxes, let's say working modules, right? The new normal seems to be less tangible, more flexible, encompassing all of this, the plethora of working models. So what's on the menu? What kind of working models are out there, and which ones are specifically interested for mothers who would return after parental leave, which is sort of our main focus? Mm. And there's a lot of discussions about, as soon as a woman gets pregnant, of how will you get back? Will you go back half time? Will you go back 80%, 70%, 90%? It's a lot about percentages. It's about what kind of module you search for. Can you give us a bit of an insight of what modules are out there, and also what you think is specifically interested for parents post-parental leave, fathers and mothers? Mm.
Well, so flexible working models in general is really everything that differs from 100%. And you said, okay, that's 100%, but depending on your legal context, that's around 40 hours per week. So that's something, if you talk to someone in HR, that's what it means. And it's easier in my head to structure it like that. So everything that differs from 100% working hours, let's say in Germany, that's 40 hours per week. So first, what does flexible working not mean, I believe? And that is a very, very important thing, especially for women, that you officially work less. You unofficially stay on 100%, which often means 200%, and you get paid less. So that is not what flexible working really means. And that is the trap that many part-timers, especially the ones who work close to full-time, so 80, 90%, fall into. And rightfully so. It's easier to say, yes, sure, I can do that. Yes, of course, I want to be visible. Yes, of course, I want to have this amazing project. So that's an easier one. So that is not flexible working. So what can it mean? And for most people, I think that will be nothing new. Flexible hours. In German, there's this saying of Gleitzeit, so gliding time, where you can choose, and since the pandemic, increasingly also where and when you do your work. So that's the first thing, but that is not so interesting for parents, I think, because every human being should be able to do that. Then any form of part-time work would be the second one. I would say you can do that in half days. So that's the typical, typical system that women use often to pick up the children. Then, of course, you can do it also part-time in a few days full, in a few days completely off. That's how I do it. And a form of part-time is job sharing. That is very much in the exotic area, still in the exotic corner. The moment I wish it wouldn't be so, because there are plenty of advantages. I can talk about that. And the third part of flexible working is any other flexible working form that you can think of. And that can be sabbaticals, that can be transferring hours, that can be whatever you come up with suiting your situation, and obviously your employer being open to discuss.
So let's say I have all of these sort of models in place and I'm now totally encouraged to do that. Let's assume I'm working for a rather traditional company. Let's assume it's male dominated and hierarchically structured. And I would like to now integrate a new model that I came up with during my parental leave. I've heard about new work. I've heard about these models. How do I make it a reality for myself if the employer hasn't come up with the idea yet, but I have heard about it and I want to push it? How do I do that?
Sure, that's how you do it with all other projects in your life that you want to come up with. So you need a lot of persistence, a lot of, I would say, people that encourage you that might not be in your line, but that where you can form a community with. And you need to, or at least this is where my experience is from guiding others, but in my own story as well, you just need to be very clear about your priority. Is that a priority to fight this fight, so to speak, that that can be very exhausting? It's, by the way, not only an external fight, it's also an internal fight. It's the fight against the own ego. It's the fight against the internal critics and voices that says, are you mad? You are on an amazing career track. You're all putting this at stake. But my mantra has been back then subconsciously, but now more and more consciously, has been, I wish to challenge the status quo. I do not wish to somehow try to squeeze my lifetime into something that I believe, in general speaking, does not serve humanity and the planet, by the way. So it has become a priority to me not to try to squeeze my hours into something that I don't believe in. So that gave me the power with any other project. If that's not right around the corner, you just have to stay persistent. You have to agree on a few no's until a first yes comes along. That means in every performance conversation, it was my number one topic before it became happening. So it's just, you have to stay in this game if it is important to you. And for me, it was important. And you did let me reply to the question, so what does that mean practically and what would I recommend? So what I get from this group and from my collective in general, I think we all love our jobs, right? We pick them consciously at one point. We love our careers. And at least I hope and presume exactly. So, but this realization that maybe women come across more naturally due to the point of having care work with giving birth also, and being sometimes, at least in the first weeks, a primary caretaker, many realize that at one point, okay, my life is not only my job, I am not my job, and that it takes more to be live a healthy life, engaged, alive, good relationships, etc. So, and yes, obviously, we can try to squeeze like a full-time role. We can outsource so many jobs in our life, especially if we live in Germany, if we have amazing jobs like we do in this privileged group of people. We can have somebody taking care of household, of children, of elderlies, of cleaning, all of that. But obviously we can't outsource everything, like having a good relationship to your partner, like we cannot outsource sleep, by the way, as we all know with young children. We cannot outsource taking care of ourselves, interests and hobbies, something very hard to outsource. So meaning in this realization, I believe time becomes a very important variable in the equation, just the time aspect. And this is where flexible work exactly kicks in. And it should not be only kicking in for women, but there's something natural that comes to it. And now I would recommend for parents, not only for women, and obviously depending on the economic situation, obviously it doesn't allow for everyone, but I believe in this group, many can afford to change something if they want and if they can. I would recommend, yes, going on part-time, and I would always recommend a job sharing because you always have a backup, and that is not only an advantage for you, it's an advantage for your employer, it's an advantage for your clients, because there is never a lack of communication. You have to work extremely collaborative, and that is exactly that where, for me at least, this buzzword of collaboration, and we need to do stand-ups and Kanban and to be updated, that is so naturally integrated in a job share. You have to do it, because otherwise you cut yourself in your own meat, because you have the same goals. And you always have a coach on site. You can discuss everything. You have a mentor. You have a sounding board. So I would recommend job sharing. And I also, it's obviously part of my mission to get that out of the exotic corner. Obviously, because it's like, oh yeah, job sharing. So that's two girls doing what? And there are amazing examples of that, how it can be done differently. And yeah, it's worthwhile pitching, let's put it like that. And I believe also, especially if we are a part of a community that can afford more, that are in big companies. I've heard now many are saying like Google or Bayersoft are big companies. That's at least the names that resonate with me, that we have also a role modeling idea here and a role modeling mission also for others who can't afford to do that. And I would like to see it really that those companies absolutely need to think about how do we create a future of work, not only for the privileged one, but also to show politics, to show smaller companies, et cetera, how else it can be done to, yeah, I believe in system theory. So that it trickles down at one point and that others will also demand a new way of working.
So Ellie, you are on a mission. I can totally see that, and that's great to see. So can I ask you one last question? In the last years as a mother, have you seen any of your parental skills that you were able to convert into leadership skills? This is one of the main red thread of our program. And I always like to ask that question, which of your parental skills would you be able to sort of share with us that you were able to convert into leadership skills, also feeding into that new world and new work world of yours?
Well, two come up to my mind. So first is negotiation skills, definitely. thinking of like, obviously when they are really small, it's like you can always bribe them or something, but really, I mean, negotiation from a point of active listening, like, okay, I understand where you're coming from. It seems odd to me why you would want that, but okay, let's find a middle ground here. So that's something obviously every good negotiation on the business table also needs. And really with that comes a new dimension of empathy for me, at least, like really walking in his shoes, really of empathy and presence, let's put it like that. I try to really force myself, and I mean, it sounds negative, I force myself, but I try to be really mindful with, if that is my job now, the afternoon with my son, I try to be really, really present. And to shape that obviously helps me in my other jobs as well. And there to show this level of empathy that I can, that just fosters something in other conversations that I have as well. I would say this is those two are the ones. So the empathy part and the negotiation skills, I would say.
And negotiation skills, that's great. Ellie, thank you so much for sharing. Thanks a lot for the Impulse session and for the interview. And we would now close this recording and go into have a close chat discussion with our participants. And I'd like to say thank you and bye. Ciao, Ellie.
Ciao.